As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to Prospects to Pros on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Dane Brugler, as always, with Lance Erlein. On today's show, no more Combine. We need to touch on that, what that means for the league and the draft process. Plenty of Senior Bowl storylines to get to and talk about. And then I dropped my top 100 today on the Athletic, so we can talk about that a little bit. Maybe what Lance disagrees with, some of the guys that I had trouble with. You know, it's tough doing those, just a general ranking, so you know, plenty of things we can talk about with that top 100, but let's start with that combine news. It's been rumored for a while. It was announced this week. There's no more this year. There will be no more in-person combine due to the pandemic. Instead, the league is working to create some type of regional system for the medical information, the workouts, and then the interviews, the psychological testing, things like that. That will mostly be done virtually. The pro days will be a big part of this as well. So, you know, Lance, it's going to be a very weird year to not have that annual trip to Indianapolis in the dead of winter. You know, I've been going the last 10 years or so, so it's certainly become an important part of my process, and not only for what happens, you know, in Lucas Oil Stadium on the field, but also, you know, what you learn behind the scenes at night, you know, at dinner, drinks afterwards, everything that happens in Indianapolis that week. It's you know, the Combine is really the second biggest event the NFL has besides the Super Bowl. So what are your immediate thoughts on this news?
Well, I think it's, last year we were in the midst of the pandemic. I mean, we're still in it, but hopefully more the, you know, coming up on a tail end at some point soon. But last year we had the Combine and this year we're not going to. And so, many players were hurt. As a matter of fact, do you remember Tyler Higbee, the tackle guard out of Michigan State last year?
Yeah.
So he's interning at my radio station right now. And I was talking to him yesterday. He's from Houston. I was talking to him a little bit about the process last year. And he's slim right now. I mean, slim, relatively. He's like 280, but he looks incredible. And he just said that he's going to get back up to 305 and go get into a camp. We talked about last year. I said, what happened with you last year? I remember you weren't drafted. He said, I didn't get invited to the combine, so I never got a chance to do my pro day, never got a chance to test. And he was, you know, he's a pretty good athlete. And so, he's an example just right there in my, right here in my own office area from a radio standpoint of a guy who, you know, lost out on a chance to maybe get into a camp, and not having the medicals is a really big deal. So they're going to have a limited amount of players. From what I understand, it's going to be close to 200. And so it's going to be a lot lower is what I'm hearing from. I don't know if you mentioned that earlier. I didn't think you mentioned a number, but I'm hearing about 200 medical. Well, that still leaves out a chunk of players who would be A, drafted, and B, in consideration as PFAs. So I think that's going to be a really big deal. The psychological testing and medicals, I mean, they're just so important. They're so important. I am curious to see how the workouts are going to go. Are they just going to be strictly pro days? You know, are they going to try to put their own workouts together individually? Will the league step in and try to keep some uniformity to it? Will it just be the Wild West of, you know, like we had last year with guys just taping? Obviously, in-person stuff happens a lot more now. Last year, it was all, you know, your remote sites and everything was on YouTube. So, but I get a lot of info, as you mentioned. It's the discussions with team personnel and scouts and people just like yourself who you get different perspectives, you get different information, and it is part, it 100% is a big part of the process. But then, you know, I really did get something out of watching certain players. I'll give you an example. I thought Justin Herbert last year when he was on the field at the combine throwing, and this is after the Senior Bowl, I thought, wow, you know, Justin Herbert really has a little something when the ball comes out. I mean, you could feel it, you could hear it, you could feel it. The same thing I thought was true with Carson Wentz. There's something about quarterbacks being able to compete against each other where you've got a natural ability to stack them against each other as they're throwing that really kind of crystallizes in many cases certain stackings that you weren't sure about. And so we're going to miss that. We're going to miss it with offensive linemen, with wide receivers, with, you know, running backs. And that's a big part of how I evaluate, because it does help me determine, you know, my stacking. And sometimes it will open my eyes to either limitations or non-physical limitations that I might have thought I saw on tape.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, a great example, I remember the 2013 combine. That was probably my third or fourth combine. So I was still getting my feet wet and understanding, you know, how everything worked. And, you know, I was in the stadium watching the offensive tackles work out. And I remember seeing Eric Fisher and Luke Jokel, you know, alphabetical order. So they were back to back. They're going through all these drills back to back, back to back. And it became clear to me, wow, Eric Fisher is by far the better athlete here. And the movement skills and seeing these guys, being able to compare them back to back like that. I mean, I left Lucas Oil Stadium that day and I tweeted it. I have the tweet favorited on my bookmarks. Okay, Eric Fisher, he's going to be the number one pick over Luke Jokel because I know what I was seeing. NFL teams are seeing that too. And when you have guys that are similar, the guy with the better athleticism is going to get the nod. And so, no, I think that's a great point. And, you know, we will have the Senior Bowl next week. That's going to, you know, Senior Bowl is always important. Now it's going to take on even more importance with, you know, what Jim Nagy and his crew are able to do, you know, bringing about 120, 125 players to Mobile. You know, it's something that is going to factor in quite a bit with no combine and just the uncertainty of what these pro days are going to look like. And, you know, with the combine, you know, you mentioned the medicals. That's why the combine exists. That's why it's so important. You know, contrary to, you know, everyone talking about 40s and all that, that's important, but not as important as the medicals. You know, they go through everything. It's blood work. It's, you know, stress tests. It's knees. It's shoulders. It's, you know, joint movement. I mean, they do so many thorough examinations that lets you know what's going on with each player's body. And that's a big factor in, you know, who ultimately gets drafted where. The psychological testing, and not just the Wonderlic, but tests that go beyond that. And then I think the in-person interviews, that's such a big deal. Like, when you think about the combine, it's such a grueling event for these players. I mean, if you talk to guys that are in the NFL right now, 98% of them will say if they could do the combine over again, they wouldn't do it. They were just happy to get it done with and out of the way. And that's kind of the point. It's a grueling week. It makes them uncomfortable, but it reveals a lot. You know, you have to go through the train station, through all those interviews. You have to go to hotel rooms for the formal interviews where teams have, you know, a full staff sitting there with a TV with your worst plays queued up so they can pick you apart, and you have to go through it and tell them, okay, well, this is what I saw. This is what happened. I mean, it's just a grueling 4 days for those players. And so not having it this year is just, it's going to be very different for these players.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you talk about it is grueling. I think it's designed to be that way. So they're challenged. They're uncomfortable. It can alert you to attitude. It can, frankly, all of these teams are looking for tells. It's like a game of poker. A lot of these players are, a lot of the players are just, this is who they are. And like a Patrick Mahomes, when he went in, I got a chance to talk to Brett Veach about this a couple years ago, right after he was drafted, I guess 3 years ago and 4 years ago. And he didn't, he was just the same Patrick Mahomes as ever. But there are a lot of guys who have been coached up. Okay, this is what you got to answer. And they're figuring out if they want to diminish certain things about their past or if they're going to be honest. And so what will happen is it becomes a game of poker where teams are really trying to get tells on certain players and trying to figure out who they are. Not necessarily in a negative way. They're just sure. trying to unearth who they really are, because so much of what happens now is a grooming process to where you're not sure if you're getting the right guy or if someone's really showing you the face that they've been taught to show you so that they can get into your building. And then you might get a different kind of guy personality-wise.
Yeah, and basically the combine comes down to collecting as much data points as possible on players. That's what the combine comes down to in a lot of different categories. And having everything in Indianapolis allowed teams to do it in a neat, tidy way. Now, this year, it's just going to be very spread out. And you're going to have to wonder, okay, pro days at certain campuses, are they, fast tracks and the different elements, and it's not going to be as uniform, and so there's just going to be a lot of different intriguing elements to this. And I think the other part of the combine is that's where a lot of deals get done. Agents and team, technically they're not supposed to meet yet, but a lot of free agent deals get kind of the groundwork gets done at the combine, between general managers and agents and coaches get involved and everything. So it's going to be a very, very different type of offseason that, it's just going to make things a little more challenging and just, kind of going to continue the weirdness of this year, but that's kind of par for the course. We're kind of used to it now. But that, like I mentioned earlier, that makes the Senior Bowl that much more important. And let's kind of pivot to that game, talk a little bit about what we're looking forward to next week down in Mobile, Alabama. It's going to be interesting when there's just a little more pressure on these players to perform, knowing they don't have a combine to compete at. They don't know what the pro days are going to look like. So maybe a little bit more of a competition level during Senior Bowl week, during the practices. The one-on-ones are going to be great. It'll be great to interview these guys. This is where the coaches start to get involved from NFL teams. It's their, for a lot of those guys, their first impression to these players. So, as we look forward to Senior Bowl next week, what are the kind of the top things that you're looking for?
Well, I really want to see what the competition level looks like. I want to see guys who haven't competed, like Spencer Brown and David Moore on the offensive line, Jamie Newman at quarterback.
The opt-outs, yeah.
Yeah, I want to see the – I mean, honestly, the opt-outs are a big, big part of it to me. Quincy Avery's working with the quarterback coach of Deshaun Watson, for example. And I really want to see how Jamie Newman looks. He didn't play this year. I think there's some holes in his game, and who knows? I mean, a lot of players improve. I thought Mac Jones clearly improved his stock from last year. Joe Burrow shot his through the absolute roof. Who knows what would have happened if Jamie Newman had played this year? So I really want to see him. I want to see Spencer Brown, who I'm very high on from. I think people are sleeping on him, and I don't think they're going to be sleeping on him much longer. Once they see him, he has a great body. He's very quick, very athletic. I want to see how strong he is when he's bull rushed and one-on-one stuff. I want to see the opt-outs. And then, as always, I think there's nothing that's individual, any kind of changes to the format. I'm not worried about that. What I want to see is what I want to see every year, one-on-one competition. Because Terry McLaurin, I'll give you an example, and you know this too, Dane. Terry McLaurin, so K.J. Hill had a good year last year, and everyone said, he's this year's Terry McLaurin. But he wasn't. Terry McLaurin was special. I didn't see all that in his tape. And I watched him work with Boyd from, was it Chris Boyd from University of Texas?
Yeah, the corner.
I was watching him work with the corners, and he was showing two of the corners who he was going against what he was doing with his press release. And he was actually helping guys that were on his own team to understand what his press release was, which I've never seen that. Like, I'd never seen that. And he was just off to the side showing them. And he was so good. And he has carried it over to the NFL. Like, what we saw at the Senior Bowl, to me, was a lot better than what we saw on tape. And let's face it, I think the Ohio State offense, sometimes you don't always get a true feel for who some of these receivers are. So I love when guys show who they are out at the Senior Bowl and really make you say, oh, I got to go back and rewatch this guy.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's, you know, who will be this year's Terry McLaurin, the guy that, you know, had a good college career. But, you know, once you get him in an environment like this where he has a chance to shine, you know, who could that be? And the opt-outs are going to be huge. You mentioned Jamie Newman. I think right now he's probably somewhere in the 4 to 6 range in terms of round, like where he's projected to go. And Senior Bowl, how he performs will certainly influence that. You know, a couple other opt-outs like Nico Collins from Michigan, who is a good-sized athlete. He can win downfield. He's not going to easily uncover, but he's still a big athlete. You know, there's some juice there. Ambry Thomas out of Michigan, a big athletic bump and run corner. You know, there's a few of these guys. You know, some of these juniors that opted out, like, you know, Penei Sewell, Ja'Marr Chase, they're not really going to be affected by opting out. But some of these seniors, that this is where the Senior Bowl is going to be really important. They're kind of putting all their eggs in this basket. And so how they perform next week in Mobile will certainly play a part. And you mentioned the small school guys like Spencer Brown, who I think he's a top 100 player. My big question was some of the power stuff. And that's where, you know, he'll be able to, I'll either be impressed or I'll say, okay, well, that's what I was worried about. And that's going to influence where Spencer Brown ends up in the rankings. And it's not just him. It's Robert Rochelle from Central Arkansas, who his tapes vary up and down. He's not a technically sound player, but he's long and he's athletic. Good character guy. So, you know, Robert Rochelle has a chance to help himself. David Moore, who you mentioned from Grambling, the guard, who is not, he's under 6'2". Not the most impressive you know, height, but he's long. He's got almost 34-inch arms. He's an athlete. He carries his 320 pounds fairly well, works well in space. How is he going to adjust to the power, the speed of better competition during practice? So especially these small school guys, you know, the Wisconsin Whitewater kid, eager to see him as well. There's a lot of intrigue with those guys. We've seen it before. Ali Marpet. Or, you know, last year was Barch on the offensive line, or on defense it was Duggar and Jeremy Chin. And so, you know, these small school players, that's where you know, there's a lot of intrigue when you put them on the stage with the better competition to see if they wilt or if they rise to the top.
I mean, I don't know that I can add anything to that. I think the one thing that I'm going to miss being at the Senior Bowl this year, I've decided not to go. Just I wasn't sure it was going to benefit me enough for right now, so I'm going to monitor from afar. And I always had a hard time getting to the weigh-ins, because you also get a sense of the what type of physical specimens these players are at the weigh-in. You don't get to see that at the combine, but you do get to see it at Senior Bowl if you're accredited to get into that. But I don't know if that's even going to be available. You know, those are one of those things that when you go, I haven't even thought about, is that going to be available to the general media who is covering this? Are you going to get to see it? Are you just going to get the numbers? You know, it's things like that. The walk across the stage, that's a big deal. Looked apart, NFL people automatically will subconsciously or very consciously, they'll be prepared to bump you up their draft boards based on if you look great. Similarly, if you don't, that can hurt you too.
Yeah, it's, if someone got a hold of my notes after a weigh-in, it's very awkward, taken out of context with some of the details, some of the, you know, descriptive words that you use, but it helps paint the picture. And, you know, that's something that matters. And unfortunately, the media, we will not be we won't have access to the weigh-ins. That will all be done behind closed doors, you know, with only a few personnel from the NFL. So, I mean, even there's plenty in the – not everybody from the NFL with teams will be allowed in for that. So there's a lot of – and no more Ladd Peoples Stadium this year. It's all at South Alabama's campus. So this year, for a lot of different reasons, is going to look very different at the Senior Bowl. One other storyline with the Senior Bowl I wanted to hit on was – Mac Jones deciding to go and compete. That's a big deal for him. Teams want to see him removed from the Alabama team, the talent around him. It's kind of weird to say that you want to see him removed from that and play at an all-star game where it's nothing but future draft picks, but he might be, going down a peg in terms of the talent around him that's going to be in Mobile compared to what he had in Tuscaloosa. So not only that, but just you want to see him in a, you know, just a new offense with new coaching and a different environment. You want to see was he a product of his environment or is he a big reason for Alabama's success this year? It's hard to, figure out where he is on the spectrum just by watching his tape. I like Mac Jones a little bit more than you do. I don't think that he's a slam dunk first round pick by any means, but I do think if he goes to Mobile and shows out and plays like we've seen him play the last 4 months, it's going to be hard for the first round to come and go and him not be included.
I actually I went back and watched the national championship game. Mm-hmm. Well, I watched both of the playoff games. And I saw a couple things on there that said, you know what, I'm going to take him from the 6-1, a high 6-1, which would be like a low-end starter, into more of an average starter, just kind of a starter in the NFL, a 6-2, which I don't think is dismissive of him at all.
Is that like an Andy Dalton type grade?
Yeah, sure, okay. Absolutely. That would be like a Dalton grade. And I think that he will go, for me personally, I think once everything's said and done, depending on how teams view these pass rushers, because I happen to think that they have a lot of upside, but mm-hmm. they are a little bit raw and unfinished. There are some very interesting guards in this draft. I think if Landon Dickerson goes in the first, now you've got a center who is going to be, going in the first round if that happens. How teams view the cornerback position. I think there's some wild card positions that could potentially, if some quarterbacks fall, then you could see other quarterbacks push. Now, Jordan Love got pushed back, and Mac Jones has substantially better tape than Jordan Love did his last year. He doesn't have the physical tools and dimensions, and I would say Jordan Love was drafted on his tape, the year before. But Mac Jones has exceptional tape. What's going to hurt him is going to be perception of talent around him really uplifting his game. But the reality is, if you play with a bunch of other guys at the Senior Bowl, you can dispel some of those concerns. So I'm really glad he's there because it's going to answer some questions. How does he work on, what's the arm talent look like when he's going one-on-one, but there's a little better competition between wide receiver and cornerback? Because that's what he's going to see. He's going to be like, holy crap, I didn't see passing windows this tight. This isn't what I saw at Alabama. So how he adjusts to it, I think, is going to say a lot about Mac.
Yeah, no question. And you mentioned, seeing Herbert, how the ball came off his hand. Obviously Mac Jones doesn't have that type of arm, but it'll still be important to see how the ball comes off his hand, compared to the other quarterbacks that are going to be down there, and just making that comparison and, how does he do efficiency wise? There's a lot we can learn from Mac Jones, even though he's coming off, one of the best quarterback seasons, a top five quarterback season in the last, 25 years. So it's still, there's plenty we can learn from him next week at the Senior Bowl. I'm also, Devontae Smith's going to be down there. He will not be participating. Still working his way back from that thumb injury that he suffered in the national title game. But what a shrewd move by Devontae Smith to accept his Senior Bowl invite. He's going to be on the Dolphins roster. So he's getting that FaceTime with the Dolphins coaching staff. And who knows? Ja'Marr Chase, he might never get FaceTime with that Dolphins coaching staff throughout the, at least one-on-one in person. He might not get that outside of, Zoom calls and things like that. Whereas, he's going to have, Devontae Smith's going to have a full week with the coaches and some members of the front office, and they'll get to know him very well. get to know more about him. And that's something that is invaluable and a really smart move on his part.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Dane, who are the quarterbacks for the Panthers?
Right now, with what we know, Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask, Jamie Newman, and then Jim Nagy did tweet this week that Mac Jones will be on the Carolina roster as well.
Okay, so that's to your point about Devontae Smith and the Dolphins. That could be an interesting look for, you know, it's funny. I've always kind of compared Mac Jones to a poor man's Joe Burrow in terms of the way he took off this year, his accuracy, his poise throwing deep. And, you know, here he is getting to work with Joe Brady and getting to work with Matt Rhule. So that could be a very interesting pairing between Joe Brady and Rhule and Mac Jones. That could really make for an interesting look for the Panthers. And if Mac Jones has a big week, just to further play on that point, then all of a sudden a team who might be in the market for a quarterback and maybe even in a first round, that may be something they take a look at. So that's always something to keep your eyes on. Draft the teams who coach the players. You should always scour the rosters. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to take somebody off that roster. Somebody off that Senior Bowl roster is going to end up on one of their teams, and many times it'll be, you know, two and three because they really get to feel like they know those players.
And especially this year, you know, it would not be shocking, especially a guy like Matt Rhule, who we know how much culture matters to him and character and how that fit is within his program. So absolutely, and maybe that is a fit with the quarterbacks. It's going to be really interesting with Mac Jones because you have these teams in the first round. There's plenty of teams that could use a quarterback, and it's going to be interesting who's going to be left without the chair, and you know, who falls in love with the Mac Jones. Do they do it, or are they going to be feel comfortable taking him in the top 25? There's a lot of intrigue, a lot of things that we just don't know at this point that hopefully the Senior Bowl will help answer. So a lot to look forward to next week. I'll be down in Mobile. We'll do some type of wrap-up podcast next week going over practices, you know, what I'm seeing down there, what's the buzz, who's playing well, who's not. Plenty to talk about, so look for that next week. Before we wrap up today, though, let's hit on my top 100. So this is up on The Athletic if you want to view the whole thing. Lance, I know you took a look.
Mm-hmm.
No huge surprises, I would say. But as you kind of went through it, were there any guys in the first, you know, 50 maybe that caught your eye as a surprise? Someone that I have too low compared to where you see him, or maybe too high?
I look at number 13, Micah Parsons.
Yep.
And I think from a talent standpoint, you have to really strongly consider him in at least the top eight. And maybe even higher. It's watching him play is like watching a bigger version of Saquon Barkley with his, you know, the legs look exactly the same. He's got the same loose hips. He's got the start-stop ability. He's not going to miss many tackles ever.
He looks like Bobby Wagner. I mean, like just that body type and the move. I mean, Bobby Wagner, people forget, he blew up his workout. How athletic he was. And Parsons is going to do the same thing. I'm not putting him on that level as a player just yet, but as a specimen and as a prospect, you know, there's that potential.
Yeah, I would say personally that in real life, I think he's a better player than number 13 where you have him. But the fact is there are some character concerns.
Oh yeah.
And so I think dropping him down is potentially could potentially be a little bit more accurate to where he ends up getting drafted. And I think that's the unfortunate part for Micah Parsons. And teams are really going to have a lot of questions for him when they do get their opportunity to talk to him. But I think from a talent standpoint, he's worthy of being higher than 13. The next guy, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, I just am in love with his potential. He's got blazing speed. He has just this really maniacal downhill aggression that I really, really like in the body of kind of more of a Derwin James mold.
Yep.
But I think he's got a chance to be an unbelievable blitzer and maybe even edge rusher because he can bend and corner. And I think that could be a big part of who he is and what he's doing, like, Baker's doing with Jerome Baker's doing with the Dolphins. I think the question on him is going to be, can he play under control? But he's going to have a big combine. I think that, like I said, I'm betting on the traits, and he's higher up on my board. But based on the tape, I think you're pretty accurate. The one that I'm kind of curious about is where you have Joseph Asai. I wanted to love Joseph Asai. I didn't see enough twitch. And, frankly, this is one of the concerns of Gregory Rousseau as well. I think both these guys, bigger, longer guys, although you'd swear Asai's at least 6'5", and he's not. He's 6'3". But Rousseau is a longer guy with better physical measurements. But Asai, I struggle with, am I seeing flashes that are going to convert on the next level, or am I seeing flashes that are too much for the level of competition he played? Like, I struggle with Osai right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Because you don't see much variety in his rush. He is, just a guy that you wind up and let go, and his motor just beats you down and wears you out. But there are a lot of times where he struggles to harness that energy. And, there's a lot of wasted steps. He'll find himself too far upfield. He's an inconsistent, low run defender at times. He doesn't necessarily have that first step burst that just jumps off the tape. He's a guy that will win with his play personality and the pursuit. He's probably one of the best, if not the best, pursuit player in this draft. So he is tough to figure out exactly where he goes, because there's plenty to like about him, but there are some things missing when you talk about prospects. And I think that's the toughest part about doing, a general draft board like this, is fit with different schemes and then trying to factor in the medical, the character. Guys that have character stuff, Kadarius Toney, he's got his character stuff he's got to get figured out. Jalen Phillips out of Miami, the pass rusher, is a guy that teams keep, when I talk to teams about him, character is one of the first thing that pops up with him. Yeah, with the medicals, like Landon Dickerson's a first round pick. All right, in terms of the tape, unbelievable tape, first round quality tape. But I don't know how you factor in all of the durability stuff, and especially coming off the most recent ACL, it's just hard to figure out.
Are these three ACLs, or is this just three injuries?
It's two ACLs, one on both his left and his right, and then he's had multiple ankle issues from Florida State days. So,
that's right.
It's just at what point do you say that, he's not going to be healthy for us? And I hope he does, because he's one heck of a player. I had more fun watching his tape than some of these wide receivers. Don't usually say that about center. I'm not crazy like you.
Welcome to our world from the Joe Moore Awards.
Yeah, exactly. I enjoy. Member. Yeah, no, I enjoy evaluating offensive linemen, but not to the level of you guys. But Landon Dickerson, I enjoyed that. That was fun. So trying to figure out where he goes, that's a little tough. Mac Jones is another one. He came in at number 40 for me on this board. Yeah, I was surprised how many offensive linemen I did end up having in my top 100. I think it was like 21.
I think they may get pushed up, but are these kind of your top one, like how you rank them, or is this how you see them kind of going in the draft? Like, these 100 guys, I believe, will go in a top 100 projection like that, or are you saying this is kind of how I see them?
It's kind of how I see them, again, which is tough because when we don't have a specific scheme or roster to scout for, there's a lot of generalities. And so I try to do it that way where these are just the top 100 players I see and then just try to, I try to tier them and then try to stack them. And that's obviously, better than most how tough that could be. Alex Leatherwood, he's another interesting one who I'm glad he's going to be at tackle. At the Senior Bowl, a chance to see him because that's one of the questions I know a lot of teams have. He's a guard on a lot of boards around the league, and some still see him as a tackle, but we're going to be able to see him one-on-ones at tackle in Mobile, so that will certainly help. But some of these offensive linemen are really interesting when you talk about like a Jackson Carman from Clemson, who I've got kicking inside to guard, or a Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma, who I don't think is necessarily as good as a lot of people think he is out there just in terms as a prospect, but he's still a quality player. And so trying to figure out where he fits in here. James Hudson from Cincinnati. It's just a fascinating story. A defensive lineman at Michigan. He transfers to Cincinnati, plays one season at left tackle and really put really intriguing tape on the film. And it's just you see a balanced player who looks like his best football is in front of him. But again, makes it tough to figure out where he stacks. Walker Little, another one. Spencer Brown, so it's just it's a really interesting group of offensive linemen. Jonte Brown, who I like a lot more than I thought I would compared to what we saw over the summer and just his maturation throughout the year. So these offensive linemen are really interesting.
I'm going to throw a name at you that I'm looking to see if he's in there. I doubt that he's in there. And I haven't really, I've heard some stuff about him, but I think maybe we're a little too disrespectful to him. And I'm just double checking. Okay. What about Paulson Adebo?
Yep. He was one of the first out. Yep.
No one has talked about him. Yeah. One of the first out. No one's talked about him for literally ever. He had an amazing 2018. In 2019, he wasn't as good. I thought it was a pretty good battle between he and Isaiah Hodgins from Oregon State. He had a really bad game against Gabriel Davis. Turns out, Gabriel Davis is just a damn good wide receiver. The Buffalo Bills picked up a really shrewd draft pick of a guy who's got some intriguing vertical skills. I'm not sure that I'm ready to give up on Paulson Adebo like some other people are. I think there's the ball skills, the length, if he can run, which I guess I don't even know if we'll find that out because will anyone in the state of California have a pro day? I don't know. But I think Paulson Adebo, who's not in your top 100, I'm kind of curious if he finds his way back onto the national radar at all.
Yep, he was one of the first because I have a fourth round grade on him. So he was one of the first out for me on this list as I kind of whittled it down. I agree with everything you said. He's tall. He's long. I thought he was a pretty good tackler. There's definitely some stiffness in his lower body. And so it's just, because if he gives up, if he has a false step, it's really tough for him to recover. But, is he the type of corner where, you put him in a cover three and you let him, kind of take the Richard Sherman route to the NFL, would that work for him? And so I think he's a little scheme specific, but he's a guy that, he's been out of sight, out of mind after not playing this year and having such a rough season last year because he's a redshirt sophomore a year ago when he played. So I'm glad you brought him up because he's a name that we need to keep on the radar. And, that's one of those guys that is going to be hurt by not having a combine, by not having a chance to work out and getting some one-on-one time with teams. And, he's one of those opt-outs that this is going to hurt.
Your number 47 is one of the guys that I think could push way up that chart and into the potentially into the 20s. And that's Levi Onwuzurike, who there are some flashes from him where you say, whoa, now this looks a lot different. The problem is getting the consistency from the big game to the not so big game. The motor doesn't always stay cranked all the time. So you'd like to see that same level of ferocity unleashed in every single game that you watch. But he's got a lot of talent, I think.
I agree. Another opt-out who, you know, he was kind of buried a little bit because he played nose tackle in Washington's three-man front. So, you know, he's facing plenty of doubles. And, you know, the stat sheet is not filled up with impact plays. But it's when you watch the tape and see how he was used, you kind of understand. But the violence that he plays with, he rushes with burst, with power, with energy. I mean, he can get upfield before blockers even know what to do with him. So I agree. He could be one of these guys that really shines at the Senior Bowl in one-on-ones when he's going one-on-one against, you know, Wisconsin Whitewater. And that's going to be a tough assignment for anybody to block. So I agree with you. On Wizerke. All right, let me try that again. Onzerike.
Onzerike, there you go.
Onzerike. He's a guy, when you look at this defensive tackle class, you know, I think Christian Barmore is the top guy. And then, you know, Davion Nixon is a good player. I don't necessarily see the...
You can have him.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see the slam dunk first round pick that some people do.
I don't either.
Yeah. I
don't even ask him to two gap. I mean, that's not going to happen at all.
But I do think that Onzerike is a guy that he's a top three defensive tackle in this class, and it's just kind of figuring out, okay, what's the proper value for him.
Okay, so I would, based on your how you have him, I would flip personally. I would flip 48 and 62. You're 48. Didn't like him as much this year. You're 62, and I'll let you tell everybody who it is. You're 62 to me. I see some short area stuff that looks like Antonio Brown. I see some toughness that looks a lot like Tyler Lockett. And there are times I think I see some Sterling Shepard as well. I really like your 62 a lot, and I'll let you tell people who that is.
Yeah, that's Elijah Moore from Ole Miss, who I agree. I like him too. He's just – it's tough in that Ole Miss offense because, you know, how many – what percentage of his snaps were within – 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, you know, a high number, you know. And so it's tough to get a great sense of his tracking skills, how good of a route runner is he if it's not, you know, he did run a few double moves. But, you know, there are some things with him that, you know, in terms of him uncovering down the field, because he's not a big guy. He's,
no,
you know, 5'9", and, you know, he's just not how – that's not his game. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, he led the country in catches this year. He averaged over 10 yards a catch.
He's also extraordinarily tough. Like,
yeah, he is.
He took shots to the face. I mean, he didn't seem to mind. He has really good hands, too. He can do a great job of hanging on to it. You know, it's not funny, but he is going to be remembered. We're saying Elijah Moore, and there are people saying, I don't know him. That's the guy from the Egg Bowl that acted like he was a dog and pretended to pee after a touchdown. They got penalized. The kid missed the extra point. Ole Miss loses. And that's, to me, after I watched the tape, that's not what I remember him for anymore. I thought his footwork to get in and out of breaks was fantastic. I saw toughness. I saw an ability to make yards after the catch. I really liked the way he worked his intermediate routes. He will go over the middle. That's not a problem for him. I just came away extremely, extremely excited about Elijah Moore. The guy that I'm light on, that I know DJ likes a lot and you like him quite a bit too, is Tutu Atwell. And I know he's really, really fast. I know he can get open running down the field. I want to see if he can play tougher underneath. I want to see him make the contested catches. I want to see him show that fast guys make it in the NFL. I'm not saying they don't, but this is a really thin fast guy. So you're going to have to show more than just
175 pounds. What do you think?
I think he's lighter than that.
Yeah.
If you tell me he's heavier than Devontae Smith, I say there's no chance in the world. And I don't think if Devontae Smith can get to 175 and actually runs on the same date, that's a huge win for him. I think Tutu Atwell might be 170. Now, he's going to run into 4.3s. He's going to run just exceptionally fast. But, you know, playing wide receiver is more than just running fast. And the other wide receiver stuff, I was not a huge fan. I didn't see as much competitiveness this year as I wanted to see on certain types of throws. So that's just where I am. I mean, if you're going to be small, you better be really exceptional at something. And he is with speed, but contested catches, that's going to be no good for him because he's just so small.
this wide receiver group is so interesting. Like, you know, a guy that I love, Dwayne Eskridge out of Western Michigan, like he's in that mix too, where there's Tutu Atwell, Amari Rodgers, Elijah Moore, Tylan Wallace, Dwayne Eskridge. There's a bunch of these guys grouped together that it's going to be tough to really stack them and get a great sense for, you know, who's the better player, because they're asked to do so many different things, and so much will depend on where they end up, how they're used, and just the overall fit. So this wide receiver class is really, really interesting, and I think there will definitely be fluctuation throughout the process as we go to try and figure them out. So everyone, check out the top 100 on The Athletic. It's up there to you can tell me how wrong I am and where I'm wrong and what I need to fix, and I'll make sure and do that next time. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this week's Prospects to Pros. You can find Lance at Lance Zierlein. I'm at DP Brugler on Twitter. We really appreciate it when you subscribe, rate, and comment. And next week we'll be doing a wrap-up show from Mobile at the Senior Bowl. So check us out then. Thanks.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.